Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
So you're telling me that a proven trophy winner, like a Carlo, like a Pep, like any of those types, couldn't come in right now, and by...
Oh, that might be the intro. Oh, that might be the intro. That
sorry,
might
continue.
Be the
you were I'm actually cooking. You're, yeah, you're
that might be the intro. You're cooking too. We here.
Yes, sir.
Back to the 6 Yard Box podcast. This is episode number 67 of the show.
Two away from the big.
I'm excited for 2 weeks.
We're talking about the biggest El Clasico of the decade so far, a Ballon d'Or ceremony that was actually worth watching, and my club sacking yet another manager. I think this is like an all-time pod in terms of how much we have to talk
about. Should be a quick pod. Got a Leaf game at 7:30.
Max 30 minutes, guys.
Max 30 minutes. Yeah. Got Raw to watch. Got the World Series to watch. Let's
imagine we were still rocking 35-minute episodes and had all this to talk about.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. Shout out to Life.
Good Lord.
Miles going.
35 minutes to 35 minutes. We gotta
yeah.
That cap, man.
Oh, lads, not just in football, but in just terms of sports. This past week has been excellent. Let's go around the table and talk about it. Antoine, how's your
week
been?
Give me a show, Miles.
Jesus, brother.
Ow.
Week's been pretty good, honestly. Some good football matches to watch. I really, really enjoyed this week in terms of content. And yeah, hope you guys had the same as me.
It's been an excellent week, man. Like, you tell me about yours.
I'll get to it.
I'm so sorry that we're going to do Arsenal versus Liverpool like such an injustice. Well, maybe not. But like compared to like the importance of usual football ongoings, this is like pretty high.
Yeah, it's fine.
Hey, say we have fucking so much to talk about. I like your shirt, Miles.
Thank you, sir.
How's your week been?
Week's been okay. Busy, you know, school and that. But, World Series is it's good for baseball, but. Not been going the way I wanted it to.
You want the Yankees to win?
Dude.
What the fuck?
We're not getting into this.
We're not getting into this.
Oh my God.
We don't have time for this.
I have a perfectly good reason for it as well, and we're not getting into
it. We just don't have time for this.
No, not getting into it.
Bro, this is why I don't like his double fandom, because no Blue Jays fan would ever want the Yankees to win anything in their lives.
Just gonna keep my.
If this has political implications,
it has no political implications.
Okay.
None. But that's a good question. I like the question you asked there. Does that have political implications? Because it's a fair point. When it comes to me,
it's a fair question.
Yeah. Okay,
boys.
Good week though. Sorry, Julie.
Let's go chronological.
Before this morning, I had let's talk about El Clasico first. Elephant in the room. Then this morning, a new elephant. And then this afternoon, a new elephant. So where do you want to start?
I just said chronological.
Chronological? Oh, yeah. My God. So we got to go back to what, Champions League last week?
We can briefly touch on that.
Oh, that one? No, that's past news. Arsenal won. PSG tied. United lost? No, they tied.
They didn't play at all.
No, they played in Europa League. They tied.
We played Porto.
Madrid.
What happened with PSG?
Well, I just probably shouldn't get into it.
Fair.
No, it was just, same old wasteful in front of the goal. It's just embarrassing, isn't it?
Madrid came back and won, but it didn't matter.
Great game against Dortmund.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, had us very hyped going into the weekend.
But yeah, should we start there? We can start there.
Let's start with El Clasico, boys. Mm. Oh my God, there's so much to talk about. El Clasico delivered in a way that I wasn't expecting.
That's crazy, bro.
Just with the buildup.
El Clasico, I was unfamiliar with your game.
No, honestly, I agree with you there, because with what it's been providing us for the last couple of years, it's been pretty dead.
Yeah.
It's not been at the El Clasico standards, even though there's been some pretty big scores.
Yeah.
I don't remember fantasizing over a Barca with Aubameyang beating Real Madrid, you know?
Yeah. So, with Joselu.
With Joselu.
Yeah.
So based off of pure talent on the pitch before the game in itself, that was already big, and then all the other implications on top of that made it even bigger.
Yeah. And it started with Barca beating Bayern in midweek, which I almost feel like isn't getting talked about enough, just because like
slayed the demon.
That alone is like massive for it. I mean, how much chaos has Bayern caused this team in the past couple of years?
Yeah.
It honestly felt like a new era of Barca, like, if that makes sense. Like,
oh, absolutely.
They've had good runs of form, but whenever they would run into Bayern in the Champions League, it was always, we know exactly how this game is going to go, and it was always Bayern coming out on top. But this time, it wasn't just Barca winning, it was them winning emphatically from the first minute Rafinha scoring, and then just, wow. And this is not like some out-of-form washed-up Bayern team either.
No, it's a new Bayern team under a new coach, I'd say.
Yeah,
probably who've been very impressive this year.
Who have been pretty impressive, but probably haven't been at their top in terms of tactics because the manager probably didn't have enough time yet.
Of course.
But this is also a new Barcelona team with the exact same situation. And look what they're doing to them. And with way younger players as well. We're talking about 6 La Masia players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, absolutely insane. This, and then with Real Madrid on the other side, having such an entertaining game against Dortmund, Vinny scoring a hat trick and having like these two like juggernauts in terms of form and status going up against each other, it was like I couldn't wait for El Clasico. And I can't remember the last time I couldn't wait for El Clasico.
Mm.
You know? My only gripe is always on at the same time as the UFC main event, but I digress.
Get out of here, man.
Who hey, Real Madrid or Ilya Topuria is a massive Real Madrid fan. He had Sergio Ramos octagon side watching him. And brought him on stage at the press conference.
Probably better for Ramos, let's be honest.
Yeah, I know.
Not watching his team get thrashed.
I know.
Yeah, that's embarrassing, lads. 4-0.
4-0.
Is crazy. You know they're going up against the best striker of all time.
And it's not even like it's a lucky 4-0, no. Barcelona delivered a footballing lesson to Real Madrid.
Yes.
And especially in that second half. Because in the first half, it was chances on both sides.
Offside goal, to be fair.
Oh my God,
to be fair.
Dude. Talk about offsides. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But chances on both sides, both testing each other a little bit. Second half completely killed the game. Barcelona completely just steamrolled over Real Madrid as if they weren't even there. Dude, that midfield trio, when Frenkie de Jong came on at halftime, Pedri, Frenkie, Casado, who's having a great start to the season. I'm really excited to see.
He's been on the Tranmere Rovers watch list, I'll be honest with you.
I'm so excited to watch the rest of the season from him, honestly.
I was trying to think about how this game would go, and I always thought that the high line of Barcelona was like the worst to go up against Real Madrid with all the pace and power they have, you know, just cutting through teams. Mm-hmm. But no, they played it to perfection.
And it's so impressive, too, how in sync they are. I don't know what kind of training they go through to be. It's like they read each other's minds. Genuinely, they are so in sync. It's incredible.
I think what you said about the new era, because they've won championships, like they've won La Liga with Xavi, in that year, the years after.
Yeah, they've had like.
But there's a different aura. Like I know we say that word all the time, but there's a different aura about this Barcelona team, and they showed it against their biggest rivals, who have. I mean, we'll talk about Ballon d'Or later, but. I mean, there's no other way to show how serious you are and how good you are than against your direct rivals.
And they freaking showed out. Wow. Did you guys see the Spanish TikToker that was beefing with Lamine Yamal?
No.
Oh my God, you guys have been missing out. Okay, so there's this guy, and like he's a big shithouse, big Real Madrid fan, reacts to every single game, big hater of Barcelona, obviously. So he is basically live TikToking the Bayern game, and in the first half Barcelona were they tied or just up?
First half of Bayern game?
Yeah.
Oh,
at halftime it was like 1-1 or whatever. In the first half of against Bayern, Lamine Yamal is pretty quiet, so this guy puts out a video saying, Lamine Yamal, where are you? Whatever. Barca win that game emphatically, Lamine Yamal plays well, and then Lamine Yamal goes into this guy's comments. This guy is like 25, 30, saying, calm down, kid.
That's crazy.
Then what happens? The guy then goes to the Bernabeu, responds, like makes another video saying, this is a message to Lamine Yamal. Good job against Bayern yesterday, but now you're going up against a real team this weekend in Real Madrid. I am so confident that we will beat you that if Barcelona wins and Lamine Yamal scores, I will get your name shaved in my head. And guess what fucking happened?
Yeah, oh my goodness. He scored and they won. Did he do it?
I think he did it. I haven't checked crazy. Since, but he fucking better now.
I kind of thought you were talking about Ish the Fish. You guys know that guy?
Ish the Fish, of course.
This guy.
He's so it was actually belt
that's
to ass.
What it was. It that was second half was belt to ass. Ass.
Bro, belt
it
to
was
ass.
It was all like you know,
I love Ish the Fish.
It's all so Spanish cool. talk, so I was doing my hard research, like translating everything live. I had to go deep in the comments to find some guy translating it in English. But so funny.
That's
dude.
Good. That's good.
Imagine getting told to calm down, kid, by a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. I don't want any more Lemonyaglis.
That's on your boy Lewandowski.
I will glaze Lewandowski the whole time, though. Man, it's just like, he's just ageless. He seems ageless. He's so good. We talked about his hold-up play many times, but his hold-up play is so fantastic. There's no striker who I think can hold the ball up as good as Lewandowski, as Miles has an intimate moment with his mom. But, no, he's so, and then guys, like, he's such a complete striker. Yeah, he's not the quickest, but he knows how to make the right runs. His finishing ability was showcased, obviously, on two goals against here. And, it's just his link-up play. His hold-up play, he can play a pass. He can just do whatever you need. Yeah. He's just a winning mentality striker. Yeah. And Ballon d'Or, let's do it.
Yeah, honestly, Lewandowski 2025 Ballon d'Or. He's having a solid start so far. I believe in it. And I think if this Barcelona team can continue what they're doing so far, no question.
Well, they're not going to win the Champions League, so
they could.
Very good. Like I said, in my eyes, that makes him a three-time Ballon d'Or winner.
Two-time.
It'll be a two-time. He should have won, yeah. Three-time. Anyway, whatever.
God, yeah. Should we go on to Ballon d'Or then? Or is there more to talk
I say
about?
We go chronological.
Yeah, I say we go chronological.
Okay. Just because so then, next is United. I guess.
Well, I mean, we can skip over their loss over the weekend because...
I mean, like, there's some things to touch on the weekend. Like, you know, there's the VAR shit, which will rightfully get called out. But just, like, the stupid shit that kind of deflects away from the real problems. Sometimes I say in football that a manager coaches a win. Say what you want about Sunday, but Ten Hag coached the win. I'm not saying he didn't deserve to be sacked, but he coached the win. He coached the win.
Yeah, I think.
With the chance.
Oh, coached to win.
With the chances created. With the setup of the team, with the player selection, it was sufficient enough where, like, it was worthy of the win. It wasn't his fault that we didn't win that game.
We've criticized him a lot in the past, but in that game specifically against West Ham, I thought that he got everything right, and I'm solely putting all the responsibility on the loss on the players.
Yeah, I agree. And the ref, too, but...
And the rest.
Listen, I don't want to.
Yeah, come.
But no, listen, like, I know you said last episode that you have no sympathy for us whenever these ref things happen. And like, but like, you said to me off camera, like, you can.
No, because I'm not fucking delusionally biased. That's why I said that to you. Because when I see an injustice, I don't look at it.
Same, brother.
No. Sorry, I said I wouldn't do this. Yes.
Like, we're going to get into the Arsenal-Liverpool game, but there was an incident in that game that was much more of a penalty than this delict. Like, yes. But I don't want to talk about that. Genuinely.
Yeah.
It's tempting. But I don't want to talk about
you.
It.
I told you. It's hard. These referees.
Garnacho missed a good few chances. Højlund missed a chance. Delo.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god.
Guys, I was like half asleep watching that game.
Yeah.
And then when Delo had his chance, he missed it. Dude, I actually woke up from it.
It's actually I've been a supporter of his too. I think he's a good player in there.
Yeah, and I think he still played a decent
funniest thing about this game? Bruno played his best game of the season.
Yeah, he played well.
Swear to God, he should have had three assists in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
This fucking team.
So then what did that lead to?
And then that led to, for skipping forward to today, Erik ten Hag, as I'm on my way to campus this morning, in the subway, see Fabrizio Romano tweeted out 1 minute ago, Erik ten Hag officially sacked by United. It's happened, boys.
So who's going to do the song with me? Do we get to do it one more time?
You can lead the way.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Old Trafford is falling down. Ten Hag is a fucking clown. I don't need the rest. You guys get the joke.
Thank you, sir. I never want to hear that from you ever again.
It's gone. It's never being spoken into existence.
Amorim is a fucking clown.
Listen, football is a results-based business. Ten Hag was not getting the results. So in that kind of sense, it makes sense. This sacking, doesn't it? Like...
I don't know.
Is it incredibly frustrating that the players couldn't finish their chances, and because of that, another manager is getting sacked. Is it incredibly frustrating that the players just have not been stepping up like they should over the past couple of months and like year?
There you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My main thing with this is like after yesterday, well, I mean, for a good while now with United, I'm numb to the pain. Like this doesn't excite me that Ten Hag is being sacked, that we're linked to Ruben Amorim or whoever we brought in is going to be. We'll get to you, sir.
It's a question. I'm asking you a question.
Okay, go on.
No. Finish your spiel. And then I'll ask a question.
But it doesn't excite me. And nothing that they could have done today excites me, right? I've been telling you for a while now that whoever we bring in, whether it be Southgate, whether it be...
Well, if you brought in Southgate, you would kill yourself. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Whether it was Southgate, Nagelsmann, Amorim, whoever... Like, it doesn't excite me enough because there's, like, a loop to do with these players. Downing tools, manager comes in, a bounce back season, going gets tough, downing tools again, repeat.
Well, the problem lies exactly in there. It's in the players.
Exactly.
And when is the club going to realize that it's not always the manager's fault?
I hope they do. I genuinely hope they need to
at this point because it's been for 3-4 years now, the exact same loop.
Just and cycles, bro.
Cycles.
With Ten Hag, with Rangnick, with Ollie. Even with Mourinho.
But hey, I mean, Miles, ask your question because I was going to say something.
Go on.
Yeah. This is, you know, you're talking about this and it's on my mind. And I want you to think about from the appointment of Erik ten Hag. I feel like I've asked this question mm-hmm. before, but from the appointment of Erik ten Hag in the summer of 2022 till now, what percentage of Man United's underperformances, what percentage would you put on just Ten Hag? Not like the management, just Ten Hag. Not the players, just Ten Hag. I mean, yeah.
Low-key, good question. Great question.
Yeah, I know.
Good question.
So it's never easy for
me. It's a good question, actually.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Ten Hag is, I mean, he's like Jose Mourinho. He compared himself to him. So, I mean.
30%.
I think it's more 50.
30%. 30% him. 30% the board and management. 40% the players.
Let's get the pie chart out, boys.
I'm not giving you board.
This is since 2022, bro. This is since 2022.
You guys got any.
This is since 2022, bro.
$700 million.
On the wrong fucking players, well,
exactly.
Bro.
And whose fault is that? That's Ten Hag's fault.
Bro. Not just Ten Hag's fault. He wanted to buy Antony in June of 2022. And if we made the deal at the time, that would have been a £40 million deal. And we're looking at that deal much more... much better. He wanted De Jong in his first summer. We bought a washed up Casemiro instead. Like,
well, I don't think De Jong wanted to go, to be fair.
Well, then why did John Murta and our CEO at the time fly over to Barcelona and just embarrass themselves by pursuing that deal so hard, ignoring every other deal until the last week of August in that window? Like, I'm not, like, the current board, I'm happy with completely. But for a summer or two before that, it was these incompetent little people that was really spending the money in the bad places. And that's been our problem for like a decade now. And that's why I only put them at 30%, because now it's better and they've backed Ten Hag completely in the summer, which is why Ten Hag got to go. They completely backed in the summer well enough.
You need to put more of the weight on Ten Hag because you're putting 40% on the players, but a lot of those players are players that Ten Hag bought himself that aren't performing to the standards that he thought that they would perform at. So it's also his judgment that didn't go to plan.
I understand that completely, but then like sometimes there's little stuff like the injuries or the players talking up. And honestly, the injuries, like I can put that down to luck, but it's down to the players as well to stay healthy and not be stupid and just be dumb like Luke Shaw and whatever. And like, sure, a lot of the players brought in by Ten Hag were his, absolutely. Which is why mostly this season I'm putting the blame on Ten Hag and it's worthy of him going. Mm. But like, there were stages last year where he really had to rely on guys like Harry Maguire, like Johnny Evans, like
Garnacho.
Garnacho is technically his, but like these players that have let him down time and time again, like like times, especially last season, where it was like where he didn't have a lot of his best team, is what I'm saying, right?
No, that makes sense.
That makes sense, but that's football. I can't use that as an excuse. I can't use that excuse in the Liverpool game, and we missed like our whole back line.
I think you could use that. Like it's
not just lame, isn't it? It's just lame. Like, doesn't be mean better. It's wrong. Just be better.
Of course.
Just get, like, you know what I'm saying?
Of course. Of course. Like, if you had Saliba in this game, like, the standards are higher. Mm-hmm. Even just a little bit, but they're higher.
Yeah.
Right? So, that's what I'm...
I get it's frustrating, but... I don't know. Why is Johnny... Why hasn't there been a Johnny Evans replacement for the last 12 years?
That's why I put something down to the board, because we were supposed to get Kim and Jay, but got Johnny Evans instead.
So, there you go. But there's another issue. Like, I know, like, what...
But this, like, now the board is fine. Like, that's not a gripe anymore. Yeah. I complained about that a lot last year. Like, now I think it's much better. I actually trust the decision makers, the main decision makers at United now.
Sure.
Which kind of brings us on to Ruben Amorim, who is now seeming like at 7:27 p.m. on a Monday night here in Toronto, the likely replacement to come in to Man United. And it's really not the like first that. Name that I would have thought of, but I saw it today. And despite it being a sporting manager, and I'm a Benfica at heart, I really like it. I really like it. If you're going for young up and coming managers who's well regarded around Europe, sure, maybe that's, I'll get to that gripe. But this is the best name you could have gone for. I mean, if the alternative was Southgate, fuck, I'll take Blake Talibas as manager.
Like, I feel like I do a job.
Yeah, off the pro club's resume or what? Or the career mode.
What's
resume?
The first Low thing key, you're doing yeah. when you get the job? What's the first thing you're doing?
Kicking Bruno in the shins, lad. No, actually, you know what? I would transform Bruno into a Ballon d'Or candidate, and there's no doubt in my mind. I would get the best out of him.
Okay. I feel like your lack of football manager experience really docks some points
on
the resume.
You don't understand my visionary on the career mode pitch.
Okay, so listen, mm-hmm. I'm Bruno.
Yeah.
I just met you.
Yeah.
Gaffa. What I need to do.
You've got to go, lad.
I like what Anton said. Okay, anyway, go.
So I like the Amorim shouts.
I do like the Amorim shouts.
He's like the manager that's emerged as one of the top candidates for a lot of teams. He was the one that was tipped ahead of or after Guardiola for when Guardiola is going to leave this summer. So if Manchester United position themselves on him, I think that would be a pretty big shot at Manchester City.
That is a big like testament to how good he was. But however, that leads me to my one gripe with this, is that those same things that you're saying about Amorim right now,
they were saying about Ten Hag.
Mm-hmm. I remember this. This is my only problem with Ruben Amorim as Manchester United manager, is that it is the exact same template of manager of Ten Hag. Sure, different system, all of that, different experience, but it is a young, slightly unproven on the biggest stage type of manager coming into Manchester United, which is a whole different level from Ajax, Sporting,
for sure,
etc.
It's a big jump,
right? And it is a risk. The one problem I have with this is that Dan Ashworth and the people at top of United have been saying, I'd rather walk into the right decisions than run into the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want this to be a situation where we're running into the wrong decision just because they couldn't last with Ruud van Nistelrooy there too long with this public pressure and everything. I wanted United to go around Europe and look at the best. Why couldn't we talk to Xabi Alonso? Why couldn't we talk to Pep Guardiola? Why can't we talk to Carlo Ancelotti? Why can't we talk to the best in class that would like genuinely be appealed by the idea of coming into Manchester United and turning them into the juggernaut that they once were?
Do they want to do that, though? Your club is rotten to the core. You don't think that these managers know what's happening? Of course they do.
Of course.
There's no way that there's no communication between your board and some of these top guys.
But this is what I'm saying. It's always closer than you think. Look at Barca right now. If you were to tell me that they look like in October of 2024, mm-hmm. if you were to tell me 6 months ago that they're going to be on like the best team in the league, smashing the Champions League winners, and looking like this with half of 11 made up of La Masia players, I would have called you crazy. Look at Ten Hag when he came into the first year. I'm telling you, like, players bouncing, like, the players can step it up. They can, which is why I fucking hate them. But they can step it up. He took the worst United team like ever in terms of points total. And in his first season, he was actually in title conversations for a little bit. So you're telling me that a proven trophy winner like a Carlo, like a Pep, like any of those types couldn't come into them, couldn't come in right now and by...
Oh, that might be the intro. Oh, that might. Whoa. That might be the intro. That
sorry,
might
continue.
Be the
intro. You were actually cooking. You were, yeah, you were going.
That might be the intro. You're cooking too.
I was actually.
But keep you got going, a little too close to the sun. You know what I mean?
Keep going. Keep going.
The black hole, rather.
You're telling me that a Carlo Ancelotti. you're telling me that they couldn't come into Manchester United and turn them into a juggernaut within a year and a half.
And finish the
job. You're wrong. Yeah. They can't finish the job.
I can't finish the job.
Ah, well.
It definitely does seem, with how quick these reports came out, it definitely does seem as you guys are running to the next manager, which I would agree with you is probably not the best idea.
If they were running into a Southgate, I'd be alarmed. Like, I think Amorim's a good manager, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, for sure. But they definitely need to assess every single option before eyeing down who is the best right now.
Like, this is the thing. So Amorim plays a style very similar to like Inzaghi, where it's like it's a five at the back, but it's an entertaining five at the back. Think of Conte with Chelsea a couple of years back, where it is.
You guys are gonna go five back?
Think about it as more of a three back with the Pistons more or the
wingers.
The wingers.
The Pistons.
In French, you say like piston, like the.
Le piston. With the. Ooh, la, with la. Le piston, le wing. They cut inside. Sorry.
With the wing backs. Sorry. With the wing backs more attacking.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how he plays.
Okay, Anthony.
Who the fuck's
wing
playing
back.
Wing back for United? I don't know. They had Reece James and
Reece James.
Bro, Conte did with Victor Moses. Like it's
oh
not
yeah,
impossible.
Victor Moses. That's what I mean. Victor Moses and was it the left wing? Was it the Italian guy?
Ivanovic.
No, it was Marcus Alonso. So I'm telling you, he could stick Anthony there.
Are you serious? Okay, good.
If Victor Moses can turn into a world beater, okay. Might be getting too far. World, and he has to recover from his
from
ankle
his
roll first.
Ankle that he needs
world,
to get.
World beater? Or
that's crazy. Beater. We need to talk about that. We actually
let me segue real quick. Okay, so
going back to the Porto game last Thursday.
So Anthony got, did he get subbed on to get taken off? Or
that was for
he brought, he got brought on. And then he,
whatever, he hurts his foot, and you know, he has to get stretchered off, which happens in a game. Doesn't happen very often. That being said, but it does happen sometimes. Sometimes people can't walk
for the really bad ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the report comes out the next day. Anthony suffered from a sprained ankle, and it's just like, look, man, I get it. Like you don't want to push anything, but you couldn't have just like you know hobbled off. You had to bring out the stretcher.
Just skip off at this.
Just skip off.
Like, just pull one of like the.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't understand. Like maybe he thought it was really bad, but it just adds to the Anthony hate. But
honestly, the Anthony love. It's the Anthony lore.
At this point, it's kind of becoming like more.
He's getting the baby face.
Yeah, there you go.
Big up WWE. Anyway.
Stretch it off for a sprained ankle.
Sprained
ankle is
crazy.
Like I might sprain my ankle every Tuesday, and I still walk on it. Fuck.
Like it could have been bad. We don't know how.
It
bad
definitely
it was.
Looked bad.
I sprained my ankle, and I kept playing basketball.
That's what I mean. Like, but there's different levels of sprain.
Of course.
I'm sure it's a severe sprain.
You know, your other leg works.
Yeah.
So like, might as well just skip
also,
off.
Also, my ankles are very flexible. Like genuinely, like. I sprain my ankle a lot, so it's like I'm more prone to spraining them, but they're not as severe. Does that make sense?
Okay.
This is gonna be
like,
the
does that make sense?
I haven't sprained my ankle in a long time.
That's what I'm saying. But my
like, you know when you take a wrong step and you sprain it, that's been a minute since
that happens
happened.
To me all the time.
Really?
Because I don't know, I'm just so prone to it. But they're more flexible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you're a dancer, so
this is gonna be the killer for me. If Rodri could walk up to get his Ballon d'Or on a torn Achilles or whatever it is, then come on.
No, he needed crutches for sure.
That's crazy.
Okay, he took crutches.
Okay. Do you have any final thoughts on this United thing? Are you excited?
I could talk for hours about this, but
you can keep talking if you want.
The point that I made to you was earlier today was that this can't just be Ten Hag being sacked.
Yep.
This has to be
Bruno leaving. Sorry.
This has to be a large portion of that squad going, because let's not pretend that they don't have blood on their hands as well. Roy Keane put out, I think it was an Instagram story, whatever.
Who?
It was most Roy Keane.
Corey Reen.
There you
go.
Yo. You're so valid for getting that. You're so valid for getting that, Antoine. Sorry.
Roy Keane put out a message today.
I'm so good. We're locked in today, Anto.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Always. You gonna tell me this message or?
I know this is great podcast.
Listen, guys, listen. I took a screenshot of it and it's in my camera roll. Okay. But since iOS,
I just want to segue to when Ten Hag said that he and Jose Mourinho win a lot of trophies.
Oh my God!
And they should not be scrutinized, and we get scrutinized everywhere they go.
Comparing yourself to Jose Mourinho,
who's won Champions Leagues with Porto.
Yes, they've won a lot of trophies. Both of them.
Let me see that.
But let's look at the caliber of those trophies, Ten Hag. Brother.
So, yeah. So, yeah. Roy Keane said, you do your thing first.
No, go.
Roy Keane said on Instagram today, in good teams, coaches hold players accountable. In great teams, players hold players accountable. And that could not be farther from the truth at Manchester United. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, wait, absolutely.
Like,
you guys won the Carabao Cup in 23?
22-23? Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Maguire lifting the cup. You don't remember?
We need to get him off the pod. Lad. We beat Newcastle in the final.
Lad, who cares about the Carabao Cup?
We beat Barcelona that same week.
Lad, who cares about the Carabao Cup?
We were talking about on this podcast.
I know, but that was like also a year and a half
ago. It was also like a week before we got smacked by Liverpool.
9-0? No, not the 9-0. Sorry, the 4 or whatever it was?
7-0.
7-0. That was so long ago. Anyway... So
that was our first trophy in like 7 years or 6 years. So that was big.
If we win a Carabao Cup, sorry, I don't need. Okay,
you'll be celebrating it, bro.
I could honestly care less. It means nothing to me. It means a little bit, but it means nothing. So Ten Hag has won an FA Cup, a Carabao Cup,
mm-hmm.
3-time Dutch champion.
Oh fuck!
Wow,
you got to do that.
The Dutch Cup winner.
By the way, 3-time Dutch or 3-time Eredivisie winner with a generational Ajax team who reached the semifinals of a Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
Have to point that out.
The Dutch Super Cup winner, which I assume is like
their FA Cup
shield. No, oh. it looks like a shield. Okay. So I'm assuming it's their community shield.
Okay,
and then German Regionale Bavaria champion.
Yeah,
with FC Bayern Munich too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's look at Mourinho's successes.
I can do Mourinho's. Yeah, I can do Mourinho's. Yeah.
There's
guys, stop! He's already dead.
No. You just got fired.
Because why?
How
would
did
you,
I do it?
You said no. He's comparing them when his time at what's his called?
At United, which is false.
Which is false.
True. Did Mourinho win any trophies at United?
Yeah, he won. He won
Europa.
A Europa League.
He did,
and then he won something else.
Like an FA Cup.
Europa League's better than anything.
Community
that,
Shield.
Well, what's better?
Did he win
Europa
a League
better than FA Cup?
Yeah, dude. You get qualifications to Europa.
So he's won the best coach 4 times. Mm-hmm. He's a 2-time Champions League winner, of course.
Yeah, of course.
He is a 3-time English champion.
Yeah.
2-time Italian champion. 1-time Spanish champion.
Yeah.
1 UEFA Cup winner, which was the Champions League, I guess, before the...
Wait, what? Repeat that?
He was the UEFA Cup winner, so not the Champions League versus the...
Cup Winners' Cup?
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Europa League winner, won the Conference League, obviously, with Roma.
Yep.
FA Cup winner, won the Coppa del Rey,
mm-hmm.
won the Italian Cup, 4-time League Cup winner, won Spanish Super Cup, won Italian Super Cup.
Yeah, so comparing yourself to that is just insane.
2 Community Shield, 2-time Portuguese champion.
We know there's no comparison.
Well, that's why Ten Hag needed to get sacked, because what the fuck are you saying? Is like, maybe
I wouldn't say that's
no,
the reason,
no. It is, though. You look at him, like... You don't think Bruno's hearing that comment and going like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, come on. These guys are players. Like, you forget these people are human. They think the same thoughts as we do.
Yeah.
You don't think the players in the dressing room listen to him say that? And maybe there's a language barrier. Maybe that's what it is. Because sometimes when he talks...
He was never prolific, like crazy in English.
No, but you...
Look at Arne Slot's interviews now. Dude, fluent.
True. But that's what I'm saying. Like... You don't think that these players, these Manchester United players, hear him say these outlandish shit.
And be like, what the fuck is he talking about?
You know what? That's fine. I agree. No, they're like, what the fuck is going on? Mm.
You know what? I think, like, obviously there's no comparison to a career of Mourinho. I think there's only like 1 or 2 managers in history, a couple more than that, that can compare their careers to Mourinho's, obviously. In terms of their time at United, I think since Mourinho has left United, time has been very nice to him. Because shit low-key got kind of worse after he left. Time could be very nice to Ten Hag. Hear me out. because I think your time as a club's manager, as time goes on, it becomes more less about the results you had towards the end, but more about the moments you had together. And there were some pretty good moments under Ten Hag. And I think for the first time when he was here since, God, years before he came, there was a sense of optimism at United. Like those couple of months when Rashford was on it, when we were beating Barcelona in the Europa League, when we were winning trophies, when we were low-key challenging with you and City for the league. I know that was only like a couple of months, man. Mm. And listen, Ollie had his runs of form and everything, but like it actually felt like Ten Hag for a little bit there had us as like the best team that we have been for like the past half decade at least. And I think even if we are like good moving forward, I think time will still be polite to Erik ten Hag. I think if the players stay and we're really shit, I think time will be very nice to Ten Hag. And I genuinely do think at the bottom of my heart that he is a good manager, and that somewhere if he can find the right situation and he's not done dirty by outside circumstances, he could actually do well. Maybe that's at an Ajax and he's an Eredivisie manager and that's all.
That's fine.
Maybe he works his way up and he succeeds at a Barcelona one day. I don't know. But I do genuinely think he is a good manager.
Sure.
But just not at United. Sometimes doesn't work out.
Sure.
That's a shame.
Alrighty.
Big shame.
But yeah. Yeah, I think that's about it. No matter who comes in, if we keep missing chances like we did on Sunday, it's not going to matter, innit? But yeah. Also, last thing. We play Chelsea next weekend. If we play good football and beat them under Rude or whoever's there, I'll be so pissed at these players for looking like they can't kick a football 1 week and then manager getting sacked, new manager comes in, and then all of a sudden they remember to play football.
You know what's going to happen, though.
Yeah, so. Which is low-key why I was scared if Rude stayed for a while, because, oh my God, what if we go on a run of like 10 wins in a row now? What if it's like similar to Ollie where we give him the contract? He's just a PSV manager. Like, we can't actually like get ahead of ourselves here. But looks like that won't be happening. Mm-hmm. Thank God. It's because we've got good decision makers. But anywho, fuck these players. Eventually they need to go. How much money do you think it'll take to save Manchester United with a new manager? Like how much money do you think we have to spend?
500
to spend?
500 mil? Yeah. Another 500 mil? So about what Ten Hag's gotten? Yeah, like that again?
I think 250, doesn't
it? Yeah, maybe 250. But low-key, like...
250 plus sales.
Yeah.
Plus sales, for sure. Yeah, because some players absolutely have got to go.
That'll do it.
I don't know. That's like... Who does that get? What does 250 mil get you?
That gets you two good defenders.
Oh, we just brought in.
Yeah, well, you don't. I'm just saying, like.
But did you though? You brought in.
We brought in Lenny Yoro.
Yeah, but is he a good defender, lad? He hasn't played a game of Premier League football.
No, Lenny
Yoro. One of the most coveted young center backs in the entire world.
And so it wasn't like Højlund.
It's
like,
potential, of course, of course.
Wasn't but like, you bought Xerxes? You bought Højlund based on potential.
You don't need him before he doesn't play. Please,
I'm just saying. But you can't just call him a good center back. He's never played.
Also, I feel bad for Lenny Yoro.
Yeah,
I do too.
Mm-hmm. This actually really does suck for him, but hey, in a three-back system, he could thrive.
Oh, absolutely.
Him, De Ligt, Martinez.
I'm so over Martinez. McGuire,
that's what I'm saying. Evans, you guys don't need the 250 mil or however much budget you think you need to save this team, because you have.
Who do we replace Bruno with?
Anyone.
Because you have competent players.
It's not anybody. So then we play what? Mainu, Ugarte?
Yeah, because also Ugarte, Ruben Amorim coached Ugarte when he was at the peak of his career.
That's a good fucking point.
Thank you.
Wingbacks of Shaw, Delo.
Shaw's not playing.
Left back would be one of the positions that you would try to target.
Then, yeah, left back.
Do we play wingers or double
play
striker?
Play Malasia. Is he still under contract for you guys technically?
Yes.
No, it's wingers.
It's wingers? Yeah. So then it'd be Rashford, Garnacho, Ahmad, whatever, Hojlund.
It's a good little team. That's a good team. That's what I'm saying.
It's a good little team. And it's Bruno-less.
I do like that. I do like that a lot.
So that is true.
So it is on the players.
You get a left back and a center back?
But that does seem good on paper. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Football is not played on paper. How much of the squad is infected by the toxicness of the last few
Bruno? I don't know.
Luke Shaw is very appealing on paper, but can we actually trust him?
No. What do you mean no?
No.
You can't trust anyone. That's why I say get rid of Bruno. You can't trust Bruno. You can't trust Rashford. You can't trust Luke Shaw.
Like, in reality, it's probably like a couple of injuries. So we got like Evans, Maguire, De Ligt.
Here we go, injuries, bro.
Mazraoui, Delo. Do injuries not exist?
Yes, they do, but...
like, what?
I swear, like, there's always...
Let's not pretend that injuries don't exist,
bro. I remember last year, all you said was that, man, Ten Hag, without injuries, man, it's just going to be so good. I know you've had injuries this year, too, but, like, everyone has injuries. Like, except for Liverpool, actually. They're pretty healthy. City's missing their best player. Arsenal's missing their best player, arguably. Tottenham, I don't know. But United has it.
They had Sun out for a while.
Sun's been out. Like, you just gotta. I don't know if you're a good team.
No, I agree. Like, no, then I got to go. I'm not denying that, dude. I'm not denying that. However, a new manager coming in from Portugal, working with some important players out, is not optimal.
Yeah, fair.
That's what I'm saying. But he could cook Amorim, to be fair. And hey, a Portuguese cooking at the front of United, like, I'd love that. Even though it's a Sporting guy, I would love that. I think with that, we can finally move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to Arsenal-Liverpool.
Okay.
Take us away, Blake.
I guess this is when I start... I made a list.
List?
Oh.
Yeah.
We got a list action here.
Where do you want to start? What's that? What'd you say?
I said I'm surprised you don't have the Leaf game
on. Yeah, because I'm being committed to the podcast, but it's hurting my soul because I want to see... I hate the Jets. The Jets are so bad. Oh my God.
Aren't they 7-0?
Yeah.
Wow.
But they're not so good, lad. They're just running a hot streak. They are like Yon Duran.
Yon
Duran. They're running a hot streak and it will end very soon. Okay.
Like, by the way, that take just ages worse.
Give me every 3 months, MF.
Single 3 months.
Has he
week.
Scored?
Since that, he scored that, in the yeah. Champions League.
Okay.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he? I lost it. Guys.
I don't know if he did, man.
He did.
Did he?
I think he did.
Guys,
did he?
Where Oh, I found it. Okay.
Yeah, he did.
Let's outline the game. 2-2. Arsenal went up first. Then Liverpool equalized. Then we went up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they equalized. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the basis of a game in a nutshell. Well, let's dive
Okay, here. Thank you.
The storyline of the game as a whole, obviously, was that Arsenal was missing a lot of their players. And all of a sudden, magically, Saka and Timber appear out of nowhere and are in the starting lineup. And we kind of knew this was going to happen. And I kind of understand.
I guarantee you Saka was fit for the last game. I guarantee you.
Like for in the Champions League game? Or in Bournemouth?
He played Champions League.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't?
He missed it. And then Arteta said that he'll probably be out.
Yeah, one of the two. He was 100% fit.
I don't think he was 100% fit against Bournemouth.
No, not 100% fit, but he could have played.
Yeah, maybe, but you just assume he would want to get the rest. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
They magically show up, and I kind of understand why people are hating on Arteta, because the dark arts thing is kind of true, and it's kind of hilarious. It's also hilarious, Miles, you can attest to this, how every news outlet and TikTok page is, like, analyzing background photos of Timber in training, and then seeing, like, Saka walk in on the bus. It's just hilarious.
Well, this is the club that is famous for tracking private jets that are flying to London to get their medicals done for when we sign players.
Right.
So, you know. Dark Arts FC. That's what I said when I saw Saka enter. I totally forgot about Timber starting. I was like, he's back at it again, this guy, you know?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, we start off the game. It's whatever. We score the first goal from an amazing, amazing goal from Saka. Just proving once again that he's better than Lamine Yamal. That he's proving once again that he is one of the best right wingers in the world and shows up in big games and is a big game player, despite him not playing for a couple of matches. Then an equalizer from Liverpool on a corner. And then there's a bit of a penalty shout, which we'll get to. Arsenal equalize from their own set piece right after that. And then in the 80th minute, after a couple people go off, Liverpool tie it 2-2, and that's how the game ends. So there's a couple storylines here. First thing, there should have been a pen, which I've showed to you both. Konate goes right through Gabriel Martinelli. Some people were saying maybe his knee hit the ball. It's a pen, lads. Like, he just goes right through him.
I do think the challenge was a little bit rough, penalty worthy. However, Martinelli may or may not have handballed it first.
Shoulder, whatever. And maybe he did. Maybe that negated
it. Was definitely more of a penalty shove than what United had.
Yeah, exactly. But at the end of the day, without the penalty, we were still up 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
heading into the 80th minute. Mm-hmm. And that's twice now against the two best teams in the league besides us. We've given up the lead late. Again, red card in one circumstance. And then in the game today, yesterday rather, our back line was ending the game as Kibior, Ben White, Partey, and
Lewis Skelly.
So again, I could, the injuries thing, of course, if we have Gabriel still there, Timber still there, Saliba's not out suspended, the whole game's different. But this leads to my other point. I'm over the excuses. Like, Arsenal fans need to chill on the excuses. If we want to win a title, we have to be so good that no matter what happens, no matter what stipulation we're put up against, no matter what dumb referee decision that we think is an injustice against us, we have to be so damn good that despite that, we still fucking win.
I love that. You know that?
Yeah.
I fucking love that. Because look at last season, Manchester City against Tottenham. Remember that last second whistleblow from the referee where Manchester City were through on goal? I guarantee you, if that was an Arsenal game, every single Arsenal fan would have been so mad because it could have potentially impacted their season. Mm-hmm. Well, it impacted Manchester City's season. Didn't get the 3 points, but they still won the league.
So that's what we need to be, because Man City are that good. We need to be that good that despite whatever happens, we somehow just still win. Despite any injuries, we have to be that good.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we might have to strengthen in January, whatever. Here's what we have to do now. The players are surely see this the same way as me, but it's just one game at a time. I've been such a victim, and I know Miles has been too, of looking at the schedule and seeing who City's playing, seeing who Liverpool's playing, hate watching both teams. I'm still going to do both of those things, but now it's just one game at a time. It's who am I playing next? Okay, Newcastle, great. Win that game and don't focus on anything else. We have a game midweek, EFL Cup, whatever. Newcastle next, obviously we take that game as for what it is. Newcastle next, we win that game, then we move on to the next. Whoever's next, that game is in a one singular vacuum. We focus on that game. We win that game. If we win the next 29 games of the Premier League, we'll win the title. Obviously, we're not going to do that, but why not? If we win the next 29 games, it doesn't matter what the fuck City do or what the fuck Liverpool do. We'll win the title. So just win the next 29 games. Don't worry about what they're doing. I'm over. I'm so done with external factors. It's just on us right now. That being said, I am slightly nervous that this starts a downward spiral with Arsenal. So here's the thing. I think this mentality is definitely instilled in the team, but I still think there's like a little bit of like apprehension with like this makeshift back line. So there's an 80% chance that I think we just go on a... I think the next games go one of two ways. The next like five games. We win all five, or we get like 6 points out of 15. I genuinely think it's either one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because there's no middle ground there. No. And I think that's it. Also, there was a disallowed goal. There was like a little foul. A lot of people were talking about it. I think it's just a whitewash. You might not have known about it, but it's Havertz won a header. The guy ducked. The foul was given late, and then
to be a foul on Kivior
whatever it was. But that one was a whitewash. But anyway. Oh, that's my Arsenal rant. Unless Miles can say his spiel, and then we can just simply move on. Liverpool played well enough to draw the game.
It also wasn't an outstanding game. It was very entertaining, I'd say.
I disagree.
You think it was an entertaining game?
I thought it was a fine game.
I hated how much I watched it with an FPL lens, because I was so mad when Saka started. And then Diaz got an assist.
You're just feeding into the Miles argument right now.
Yeah. I know, dude. I'm completely on board with you on that, because that's one of the biggest fixtures in the world. And all I could think about was
who's going to get bonus points? For the big fixture that it is, I don't think it delivered as it should have. It was probably also because there was a crazy El Clasico the day before.
It was also 2-2. That's like a pretty decent.
That's pretty decent.
I thought it was great. I didn't think it was. I hate to disagree with you here.
No, of course.
But I slightly disagree with you.
I'm just saying for the big name game that it was, it could have been a little better.
That's fair.
Especially third against first.
Yeah. Martinelli's terrible, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's like we've been saying this.
I still love him.
It's like you were brainwashed by this Arsenal fandom and now you're actually realizing it.
He'd be a great backup.
Yeah.
But his finished product is just not there anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just not, or it's not as good as it should be.
So bring in a winger in January.
Like if Martinelli had the finishing ability of Trossard, he'd be like one of the best wingers in the world.
I see.
Like, because he's so good at just running.
Yeah, I see. I see the vision.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's good to... He would be good if you brought him on in like the 70th minute, and you just need him to, because that's what he did during the game. He just Which I love, don't get me wrong, but I mean,
who'd be a good winger to bring in
for Arsenal in general? For Arsenal? I mean, Bakura would fit right in, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
But he just won't leave.
I know.
Nico Williams, perhaps?
Oh.
Oh my God. Don't get the bird flying.
That'd be 100 mil. That's not a January transfer.
That's not attainable.
You know who was a bad January transfer? Is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
That's true.
That's true.
I would say about the game. It's rare. I think the game, from my point of view, was probably one of, if not the best, first half. The first half that we played was some of the best football I've seen from us all year.
Yeah, it was good.
Which is not saying much, but it's a good thing because this year we've been lacking on quality. Yeah. But it was really good. And I think it goes to show how much of a game changer Bukayo Saka is. Like, there was just some, like, when he's in the team, it's just, there's so much more. It's obviously mostly because of him, but there's just so much more going in the team. I mean, I felt like everyone was just playing a lot better. Like, Thomas Partey played really well.
Thomas Partey played so good.
Timber, I'm like really good as well. But just like Bukayo Saka just is such a massive difference between Arsenal having him and Arsenal without him.
Yeah.
It's a bad way of phrasing it. But, you know, I look ahead. I know you said we have to focus on just ourselves, and I am. But, you know, we hopefully will get Odegaard back soon. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. There's no real timeline, but it should be a couple weeks.
It should be soon.
If we just go back to the basics of, you know, Martin Odegaard starting and Kawasaka starting, I feel like we can really do what you said we're doing, where we just dart. Like, we just don't look. Just go straight at it. Play who's in front of you, and we won't have any issues. And obviously no excuses going forward, even without Odegaard and all these injuries and these fucking red cards. Oh my God, we need to get under control.
That's
all I got to say.
That's exactly the point, though. Like, that's why I was harping on Julian. Like, I'm kind of over the injury thing for Arsenal. Mm-hmm. I'm over the fact that Saliba was out. That was his own fault. That was Trossard's fault. We did that to ourselves. So shut the fuck up and win the game no matter what.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
They didn't.
So if we were good enough, we would have won the game. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
If that back line without those two players, despite that back line had none of the preferred four back line that we would have against if we played Man City tomorrow, we need to be good enough to win it no matter what. Even with the substitutes. So that's the end of that.
I'm going to say some names. Just give me yay or nay. Eze.
Nay. Oh my God. Nay, nay, nay. Jesus Christ.
I think you're being harsh on Eze.
No,
you're being really harsh on Eze.
I think he's
done nothing all year.
Bro, he's in Crystal Palace.
He's also in a Crystal Palace team that's been heavily underperforming.
But I feel like he has a little bit of marks now.
The only reason I think you would be valid to say no is because you already have Martin Odegaard.
Yeah, but he played on the wing, I feel like.
He could play on the wing, but he's not.
Yeah. Anyway.
He's not a winger.
Yeah.
Semenyo.
No.
Mitoma.
No.
Kudus.
No.
Miles disagrees.
If Kudus punched a Tottenham player in the face while playing for West Ham, what do you think he's going to do for Arsenal?
Oh, well, okay.
Is that it? Is that the list over?
Or no, Harvey Barnes.
No.
Tyler Dibling.
No. Like, yes, but no.
Dude.
I'm literally just looking through FPL real quick. Sancho.
No.
That's a no.
Pedro Neto.
No.
Minte.
No.
Yang Kuba.
But this is good. Like, we haven't had
Dwight McNeil.
Like, Nico Williams, literally. Nico
Grealish.
That's just unrealistic.
Ooh! Like, no? But there's a project there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's like Sterling, but better. Oh, Sterling, guys. Fuck, is he bad.
Yeah? This was you last week. I'm going to chill on my judgment so far because look what happened to Kai Havertz. Fuck, he's so bad.
He didn't even play against Liverpool. That's the best part.
Bro.
He didn't even play against Liverpool.
Joao Felix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you take him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, he's like not super wingery.
These are all Prem players. They're definitely ones that you could get from, like,
for sure,
you know, across Europe. That would be better. Like, Vicha. Thoughts?
I was thinking about Vicha. I don't know if he'd ever leave, though. Like, he probably will leave. I don't know if he'd go England, though.
Mm.
He doesn't seem like an England-type player to me.
Yeah.
Mudryk.
No. What? No.
But these are players that you won't be able to get. They just signed a new contract, a 10-year contract with Chelsea. Basically, I know. Sold their soul for
and
the club.
Chelsea's not, like, selling to you.
We're the best kid. The best left wingers in football. Just some random list. I want to see.
How about Cunha?
No. Yeah. He's good, though.
I didn't think so. Yindi Man and Yai? What about John Duran? Genuinely, in the summer,
you need to bring in a striker. Oh my God, you actually take him, dude.
Genuinely.
Like,
in the summer, you need a striker to take Arsenal, like, above City. Are you bringing John Durant?
Not to take him above City. What?
Like, you need a centerpiece striker. You need someone to take you to the next level.
Would you
take either John Durant or Ollie Watkins? I mean, obviously you take Watkins. Yeah. But like, if it's John Durant, like,
yeah, but that's like, does John Durant get over Havertz? Like, I don't think so.
Like, a striker?
Yeah, but as a striker, in the system, though, that we play?
In the system, maybe not, but as a striker, of course.
Do you take John Durant or Evan Ferguson?
John Durant.
Okay.
Evan Ferguson.
So we haven't... So he's not that underrated from you. Okay.
Left wingers aren't good. Like, it's...
You know what, Blake? I'm looking through your list on your computer, and I do see, like, a couple of, like... What's the term? Outskirt... Players who play for Man City on the outskirts. And it comes to my head, like... Jack Grealish, does he start? Not really. You know, you have like Savinho and Foden.
He starts every game.
Grealish?
Savinho starts every game.
No. I'm saying like Savinho is the main guy now. Oh. It's just interesting. I don't know.
Because
I think of it like Havertz, of how we got Havertz, yeah. Who's like, you know, one of the better players.
I know. What about Jim?
Like a Luis Openda.
Oh.
Risky.
He's a striker, though.
He's a striker. Can play wing. What about Sané?
Yeah. Dude, no.
Just injury prone. Very talented, but injury prone.
Leroy Sané sucks.
Now he does. He wasn't for City. He's played in the Prem before.
Yeah, well, I think he's completely past it.
Yeah.
What if you brought Serge Gnabry back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah?
Coleman same?
Absolutely.
Dude, no, you wouldn't. He's so injury prone. That's the last thing you need.
Yeah, but...
That is actually the last thing you need.
But we just need high talent. You can look at me and say... If Gabriel Martinelli randomly turned into a really good player, he wouldn't randomly turn into a really good player. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a good player still. Yeah. So we could just go on a run of form, but he just hasn't been doing that.
Kingsley Coman is kind of, he's so injury prone.
Side note, Omar Marmoush, we've been hyping him up. Mm-hmm. Could play left wing, but beyond the point. Canadian citizen?
No way.
No goddamn way. No damn way.
He's Canadian.
That's crazy.
Bro, I'll actually
He's Egyptian
him,
and Canadian.
I'll send a message right now. Lad, get your ass in a Canada shirt. He might be ineligible now. He's 25 already.
We're good with strikers, no?
We're good with attacking options. We could do with it.
We have like our whole thing is we haven't been able to score. Like Kyle Aaron's been inconsistent, and we play with two strikers anyway.
I'm not big on Kyle Aaron at all.
He's not that good.
He has that Lukaku touch.
Good service. I'm not that high on Jonathan David as a Canada striker.
Well, as a Canada striker, he hasn't performed that well. Realistically, I think we have to go all in for Nico Williams because Nico Williams is going to move eventually, and I think we have to be the player.
Yeah, you definitely have to position yourselves on him for sure.
Like, you know what I mean?
What about Gittens?
Jamie Bino Gittens.
I think
he's too unproven.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's too soon to make a judgment on him.
But like, I'm not against it either.
Yeah, no, for sure. If he flourishes into something great, then yeah.
But no, I think Nico Williams, like, I think that's the guy we go for eventually.
That's not crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I could go through every single league, but like,
but we're no, not we did that. I think it's enough Arsenal talk. Like, do you guys get my point about the whole, like, sure. need to be good enough?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Anyway.
What if you brought in Çalhanoğlu? I'm
again, going more of a camp.
More of a going. Midfielder, innit?
But he could play. He's played that. He's dabbled. Leao.
Okay.
Just making sure. I just need to.
Also,
Ademola Lookman?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Again, not. I would like a little more from that spot, but I think a hat trick in a final of a huge competition.
He's also a Fulham reject. Or Fulham flop.
Yeah. Fair. How's he doing this season? Let me check.
He scored 2 goals last game, I think.
Is he playing up top, though, or is he playing on the wing?
He's a winger. Let's say he's a winger. Yeah. He is a winger.
We need to talk about other games in the Prem soon.
He's been playing. I know. Well,
there's other games?
They're not really. But like,
not really.
Crystal Palace beat Tottenham.
First win in the Premier League this season.
In 6 matches, 4 goals, 4 assists.
Wow. Ooh.
That's crazy, man.
He's primarily playing attacking mid right now on Fulham.
Yeah.
That's Lookman?
Yeah, but he can play on the left. Like, I know he can. He can play up top. Actually, Lookman's a good show. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
What if you just go for, like, a couple of, like, City Academy prospects like Chelsea did with Cole Palmer.
But I also think, like, I think we're at the stage where we need another big splash. Like, I think the striker thing.
I agree.
I think, again, like a Gyökeres can also play left wing. I think he's done that before.
Really?
I think so. So
also, speaking of Gyökeres, I'm excited to see if Ruben Amorim goes to Manchester United, how he's going to do, and if he's going to fall off without Ruben Amorim. Does that make sense?
And if he doesn't.
And if he doesn't, sweep him up real quick.
I don't want.
Guys.
Nah, not another striker.
Guys, Gyökeres has 12 goals in 9 games this season.
Yeah. That could be a testament of how attacking Amorim plays his team.
Yeah. Damn. Oilers
to cook. Striker or left wing?
The more I'm hearing about this Amorim setup, I'm like, damn, this could be good.
And on top of that, he's...
Lad, relax.
He's like brought up a lot of youngsters. I'm thinking Nuno Mendes.
Ugarte.
Ignacio.
Actually, that is what you need,
Ugarte.
Too. You do need an influx of a new era that'll get you...
Like, but then again, like, but these same qualities we were saying about Ten Hag as well, so I'm just a little... I don't know. But the system excites me, though.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Ten Hag's system, I never really bought into... But Amorim, I see it. Will the players respect him? That is the question.
Okay, do you want to go into next Prem stuff?
Is there next Prem stuff, or can we get into?
I want to talk about Ballon d'Or.
The BO.
I want to give love to Chelsea because I watched that game. I usually don't. And Cole Palmer, like, oh my god, guys, oh my goodness,
yeah,
oh my goodness. Not just from an FPL perspective because he bagged me 10 points. I'll take it. But also just like. The way he's involved in everything in that game, just the way he's like just orchestrating everything, his touch off the ball, genuinely, obviously, I know, like, crazy patch of form. At first I thought like, Bruno did the same thing when he came to United, like maybe he'll cool off.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like serious fucking play. Like, genuinely, I think I look at Cole Palmer, I see one of the best players in the world. I'm serious.
Almost like he's better than Lamine Yamal.
Can you stop, dude? It's like you're doing this to me on purpose.
I think he's better than Saka.
No.
He's never going to... Dude, you really said that thinking he would say he's better than Yamal.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
He's not better than Saka. He's not.
No, he's not.
He's not. No, genuine. Bro.
But
they're different. They're different.
They are different
kind
players.
Of roles.
Yeah.
But kind of what they bring in terms of passing and orchestrating, they do very similarly. And Palmer is just crazy.
Palmer also hasn't done it against the big teams, really.
The way he set up Pedro Neto leading to the Nicholas Jackson goal, holy shit. And then he scored a goal of himself that was ruled offside. So then he did it. He had another long shot that just happened to go in. And I'm just like, holy fuck.
What about Saka's goal?
Of course.
It was great, man.
I'm all here to give love to...
We can't give flowers to one man without you mentioning Saka if he's even remotely close to his position.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. let's talk about something other than Saka.
No.
Cole Palmer reminds me of that. Like, I don't know about you guys, but what I always do is when you're playing like career mode, or you watch them play career mode, but like a only one player career mode, and they create that cam who's just like so much better than everyone else in the team. Is just like, does he constantly gets you, are constantly spamming A because you're getting all the passes and you're through balling to the player and striking and they don't score, but so then you're like, fuck it, I have to do it myself. Like, that's kind of like what Cole Palmer I see is doing.
The more I watch him, the more I go, Pep, what the fuck were you doing
last
fuck Winnipeg? I'm just keeping up with the score
last season. I'm not going to lie, I thought it could have been like a lucky purple patch.
Yeah.
I didn't see the vision in a long...
Stop. Like the team itself was really bro. Well.
I didn't see a long-term... I didn't see him sustaining this type of form.
So why is it crazy when... Sorry. Why is it crazy when I think John Duran's going to do
the way he does it, bro. Just actually watch him.
But I will say he's proven me wrong and very pleasantly because he's probably top 3 Premier League players right now. Easily.
Easily. Easily.
Easily.
Fuck.
Okay.
Blake, Saka's 4. List.
Saka's 4.
Okay, and then Haaland and KDB?
Is KDB not hurt? KDB, bro.
No.
Not KDB. Not anymore. Saka,
has to be in there.
Haaland and then
based
Salah?
On form.
Are we not based on pure form currently?
Saka's better than Salah right now. What are you talking about?
No, he's not. No, he's not, dude. No, every single time Salah touched the ball yesterday, 2 days ago, something happened.
Oh.
That's...
You did not watch the game. Salah had a generational stinker and just scored a tap-in.
I mean, I watched the first half.
Salah had a Salah
had an amazing start to the year, and he's
But Salah did not have a good game against Arsenal. Doesn't matter. Timber locked him the fuck up, and he locked up your boy too.
But still,
Bergolo whatsoever. Also, why is he on the other side now?
Because he plays both sides.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Didn't know that.
Versatility.
Still doesn't change from the fact that Salah's on a better. Is in better form right now.
But Palmer hasn't done it against a big team, from my understanding. I'm pretty sure he has like a pretty negative record against big teams.
I mean, Newcastle was a Champions League team last season.
Newcastle's having an off year.
True at all.
No, they're not.
I mean, think of his hat trick against United last year. Think about his goals against Man City.
Did he score against Man City?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. City's boy, Chelsea's man.
That was a pen.
I think he scored again.
He scored twice. Right. Twice.
That one was a pen, though.
Yes, that one was a pen. Big ore on that pen. Anyways.
Big what on that pen?
A lot of ore on that pen. Oh, yeah. I'm not glazing penalties now. But no, he's done it against big teams, bro.
Okay. Yeah.
Anywho.
Saka's just better.
But no. Like, he's a better player, yes.
Like, they're, like, but right now.
Off pure form, no.
Right now, they are neck and neck.
What do you mean on pure form? Okay. Sure.
All right, right now they are neck and neck.
Sure.
If this is Palmer, the last year has looked like this. Like,
how much better do you? I just everywhere. How much better do you want Saka to be? This is why I get so angry. What do you want it to do?
Saka's been amazing, but Palmer has also been amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Not saying Palmer has been miles better, especially last year. Like they were on par, but so far this season, I think Palmer has been. Palmer's been slightly better.
Okay.
Considering all things.
Fair. I mean, we can go goal contributions. I bet you Palmer probably has more.
Yeah, you do.
Let's move on. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's move off the Premier League now. There isn't much more to talk about beyond that. What are you showing me here, Miles?
That's for him.
I think he's showing me the Newcastle.
Is that like their recent form?
I just said they're having an off year, and he goes, no, they're not.
I mean, they're still playing good football. So. Yes.
Okay, they lost, brother. Palmer just okay, goals. Good for them. They're I just wanted to. Palmer has 7 goals. How many assists is he have?
7 goals, 5 assists.
Jesus
Christ. What?
That's in 9 games?
Yeah. Okay, so that's 12. I think Saka has 10.
No, Saka is insane as well. Like, I mean, like.
Wait, did he?
Win one last match.
And one last match, yes, sir.
Somatic. Ballon d'Or!
Has Palmer played against City yet?
Has Palmer played against Liverpool yet? No.
He has. He flopped.
Did they play against Liverpool?
Yeah, 2-1.
Oh, yeah.
I don't watch football.
That was last week.
They played last week?
Oh, Sino. It's generational.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Okay.
You good?
Yeah. Loki. Ballon d'Or now, I guess. Okay. I was going to say. I feel like
you mean Saka deserves a Ballon d'Or, or we should get into the Ballon d'Or talk. Getting into the Ballon d'Or talk.
Yes, to both.
Yeah, Mal and Lewandowski leading the way right now.
Oh, dude, yeah.
For
they have to.
Yeah,
they have to be.
Yeah.
What just happened in the game?
No, I'm not watching the game.
Oh, okay. I saw you pull one of these.
I'm not watching. You told me not to watch the game, so I'm not watching the fucking game.
And I love
how much is it hurting you right now?
A lot, guys. Like I really want to see them win.
It's all right.
Speaking of Ballon d'Or. We had our own Ballon d'Or today.
Yes.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
Kind of already over it, guys.
Okay.
Like,
they want to talk. You guys want to talk
no,
about
but
it.
Like, let's just
argue over it. This is genuinely one of the best Ballon d'Or ceremonies that we've had within the last decade.
What about it, though? Explain to me. About?
Because this year, we did not know who won the Ballon d'Or.
We were locked in on Timmy Weah. George Weah announcing it. But when was the last time we were
so locked in.
We didn't know who was going to win.
But we didn't, though.
But, like, if Vinny won it, he would have been there.
Summarize it.
I don't know if I can.
Listen.
So the general consensus before this morning was that Vinicius Jr. should have won the Ballon d'Or. I still believe that. I don't know if you guys believe that. I still believe that, however.
I think it's close.
Anyway, we'll get into this dessert or not thing later. This morning... Fabrizio Romano comes out with, I don't think he was the first, but Real Madrid were convinced that Vinicius Jr. was not going to win the award. Therefore, every single Real Madrid player or executive or anybody that was supposed to be that represented Real Madrid did not travel to Paris.
Lame.
It is lame. It absolutely is lame. It kills the suspense for sure.
Yeah.
But the one thing that kept us on our toes is that... There was a list that got leaked before they started announcing the top 30 of the Ballon d'Or, listing every single player and their positions, where they finished, right? Every single time a new player was announced, it was correct on that list. The only time that it was incorrect, that list had Vinicius Jr. first. Mm-hmm. The only time it was incorrect was when they revealed it. Therefore, that's what kept us, you know, actually guessing and speculating whether or not Vinny should have won the Ballon d'Or.
From player 30 all the way to player number 2, it was exactly correct.
Right?
You can't guess that.
So this is what I'm fucking saying, right? This came out months ago. Yeah, a while back. So tell me how from 29 to 2, it's all correct. And until this morning, Vinicius Jr. is like the far and away favorite to win it. And then all of a sudden, something happens. I'm telling you, there are some shenanigans going on.
Well, guys,
I don't know what the fuck is happening, but like, not... And Real Madrid knows something.
Well, that's exactly my point. You said they're shenanigans. No shit, they're shenanigans. How the fuck do they know he's not going to win? There's insiders, there's people colluding. It's FIFA, lads. Of course. Or it's not. Yeah.
France football.
Well, it is. It is FIFA. Yeah.
Is FIFA still behind it? Isn't it?
It's France football. It's.
Whatever.
Yeah. Anyways.
We know the collusion, the toxicity, the just terribly, awfully run company that has, you know, forefronted this operation.
Yeah.
There's something wrong. How does Real Madrid know that he's not going to win it?
Yeah.
Like, that should just not be a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this doesn't happen in any other sport. And it happened last year when Fab spoiled it. And then it happened this year when he didn't spoil it, but a list came out. And then Real Madrid's not going and they win Club of the Year and they're not there. And it's just a fucking shit show every damn year. That's why, well, you guys are excited. I get it. But it's just dumb. It's just dumb.
It's dumb. It is dumb. The way it's run is dumb. Yeah. I saw the Ballon d'Or, so obviously we're going to pay close attention to
it. Right, right. And I hate the spectacle of it is just dumb now.
Yeah.
That's why I'm cynical.
No, I completely agree. I hated that Fab has been spoiling it the last few years. Not that I like hate him for it. If it wasn't Fab, it'd be someone else spoiling it, right? But like as soon as we were in class and we found out that we weren't really going to know who it's going to be until it's announced, we said, boys, off social media, we're doing this the good way. And it was great. It was great.
It was better than last year.
We were locked in on some Chick-fil-A while watching George Weah announce it today. And it was actually fun.
It was not bad.
It was actually fun. Sorry, Miles. but yeah, there has to be some. I think usually the player does know in advance if they're going to win or not. Because say with Emma Hayes today winning Best Female Manager, like she accepted the award from home. She wasn't actually there.
Who does Emma Hayes manage?
England.
No, USA. Chelsea.
I think it's both. No, it's Chelsea and England.
I don't know. I think it's Chelsea and USA actually.
Okay. One of the two.
Yeah. Chelsea
she accepted
USA.
The award from home. So she obviously knew beforehand. I think all these guys knew beforehand.
They 100% do because a year ago, there was after Messi had won it, there was a video of him with his 8 Ballon d'Ors at his house.
Of course.
Yeah.
So like these players know in advance if they're going to win it or not, right? Okay. Haaland missed out on the Ballon d'Or ceremony last year. That kind of spoiled it, right? So I think while I hate that Real Madrid boycott of the Ballon d'Or ceremony, I think in their eyes, there was more than valid reason to, because genuinely from the bottom of my heart, I think until this morning, Vinicius was supposed to win it. And that irks me. Like, this is going to be like a genuine conspiracy that we talk about for years and years and years. And genuinely, it led to like one of the best ceremonies ever because we actually didn't know what was going on. Mm. But
that's the whole
France
point we're
football,
trying to make.
FIFA, whoever's at the top of this, there's some shenanigans going on.
Not to mention that their coach won Coach of the Year.
He did.
He's not there.
And they won Club of the Year. There.
And they won Club of the Year. Nobody was there. Yeah. So there was genuine, like...
Yeah, fair.
Genuine, like, because there was this list that was completely going, and you just can't guess this,
you
right?
Can't
like,
guess
this was
it.
A genuine leak. And in the video, we'll have it up on screen right now. And you were tracking a flight going from Madrid to Paris.
Yeah, I saw a tweet saying that there was a flight via a private airline. So a private jet was flying from Madrid to Paris at like 7:35. So that just fed into the conspiracy even more.
Exactly.
Made it even more entertaining for us.
Yeah. So. Like, It was exciting.
It was a good one.
But there was something going on. And, like, you were absolutely correct today, Miles, when you were saying, like, fuck Vinicius, fuck Real Madrid. Like, how are you going to be such babies just knowing that you're not going to win it so you don't show up? And I understand that point. But I do genuinely think there was some shenanigans going on today.
Maybe some racial injustice?
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I don't think it's that either.
But no.
Maybe some politics.
But people are gonna wave that.
There's like conspiracies saying that because Vinicius got thrashed by Barcelona over the weekend and didn't play the best, that's the reason why they didn't get the Ballon d'Or.
It was for that attempted rainbow flick that he tried to pull
on Koundé.
You don't try that on Koundé.
Fuck Winnipeg. Oh my God.
Gavi gave him the forefinger.
What?
Took away his Ballon d'Or.
You know what he said to Gavi? Huh. He said to his face, he's like, you might be winning right now, but on Monday I'm picking up that Ballon d'Or. He actually said that to him.
How do you know?
There's like the professional lip readers that read his lips.
Oh, dude, I wouldn't show up either. Fuck.
I'll read your lips. But,
Huh?
Sorry.
What?
Just kidding, Selena.
So.
Is that making the TikTok?
Hell no. Private matters. But no, like that, it was odd today, but in the best way possible.
Yeah. Shout out Rodri, man.
Do we think it's deserved?
This is the conversation.
It's not deserved, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Rodri has now as many ACLs as he has Ballon d'Ors.
That's crazy. That's just
ridiculous. I don't think...
That's just ridiculous.
Go ahead.
The Madrid fans will say that this is like some crazy injustice and that Vinny is robbed. I wouldn't go that far.
The only person who's been robbed of Ballon d'Or was Thierry Henry when Nedved won it.
Mm-hmm.
And... Robert Lewandowski.
Franck Ribéry.
When they just didn't do one.
Mm-hmm. And Haaland last year.
And
Ribéry, 2013. He was definitely robbed.
Who won it that year?
Ronaldo.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, he actually
was. Get the fuck out of here.
Bro. I think I know what you're talking about, so I'll add it.
Thank you.
Because I took one away from Messi, so I'll take one away from,
there you from go. Ronaldo. Did Ronaldo score like 70 goals?
We're not getting into this. No, we're not doing this.
He's rattled me, lads. I'm kidding. What else do we have to talk about?
Is no, it... the
fuck yeah.
Three nothing?
What? No.
Who scored the second?
Yeah, see, look, everyone's locked in now, aren't they?
No, because you're making this about Leafs.
Who scored
Guys,
who
it's
who
not
scored
about
the
Leafs
goal?
Right now.
Willie. Huh?
I told you to bring up Willie.
Oh, for sure.
Nylander, man. Yo.
Anyway. This Rodri win, it doesn't bother me for what it implies. He was the key player in two teams that never lose. So it's good for football, but it's harsh on Vinny because France football have been pushing out the importance of individual
greatness.
Excellence
yeah,
and individual
yeah, yeah.
greatness throughout the entire season. Mm. Vinny's been the best player by far this season, the most clutch player, the most impactful player.
Facts. Absolutely.
Against Leipzig in the Champions League, against City in the Champions League.
Against Dortmund.
Bayern, both legs. Even Dortmund, he scored the goal.
Dortmund this past week, yeah.
Like,
And Dorman in the final, too.
To measure the individual brilliance of a CDM compared to a winger is very hard.
It's so hard.
I think we're only starting to appreciate Rodri's individual excellence now that he's injured because I think City look like a different team, even though they've been winning, albeit against some pretty bad competition. We're only going to see now how they are without Rodri.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the thing. Like, you're talking about, his goal against X, his skill against Y. Like, you don't see that with Rodri. Yeah. Rodri's equivalent to that is like...
Why's a good player, though?
His positioning that game against Arsenal? Like, what are you going to say?
Yeah, fair enough.
But...
No, Vinny tore it up this season with a Real Madrid missing a number 9 and without Courtois. He went to win a double, a Champions League, and their 36th league title.
Did you say he tore it up?
No, I said Y is a good player.
No, I said he tore it up.
Because you said, look at his skill against Y. Like, you know, Y is...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm missing today. Antoine, go ahead. You were cooking.
That's good.
No, yeah. For me, Rodri winning the Ballon d'Or this season, it's not crazy, but it's a little bit... It puts into perspective because 2 years ago, he scores in the Champions League final to... bring his team to a mm-hmm. first ever European mm-hmm. success. Mm-hmm. He scores a great goal against Bayern in the quarter or semifinal in the Champions League when they won.
Semi.
Anyway, he scores a great goal. I don't know.
It
was semi?
Because we were in the quarters against Bayern.
No, when they won it. No, it 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Anyways, he scores a great goal against Bayern to like completely flip City's season because they were down. Completely flip City's season that year. and he leads his team, or he doesn't lead his team, but his team wins a treble.
Oh, you're talking about Ramsey.
However,
and he scored the winning goal in the final.
And he scored the winning goal in the final. However, he's not mentioned in the Ballon d'Or talks last season. Yeah. So now, arguably doing less than that, or on the equal level, he wins the whole thing.
Yeah, it's weird. So it's weird.
Yeah. Well, it's also why Carvajal got fourth place, right? Like, you have to give...
It's the Jorginho treatment.
Well, also won the Champions League goal, scored the winning goal in the Champions League final. Like, you know.
It's the Jorginho treatment.
A bit, yeah. I still enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, let's talk
one little thing. The production of the ceremony.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I only noticed it this year because I was actually watching the ceremony, but bit of a shit show.
Huge shit show. It's like they're dragging it.
Yeah.
Why is Lautaro Martinez getting a whole highlight package when they're announcing the Yashin Trophy?
It's weird.
What are we doing?
Because it's almost like they have to hit like a status quota for length and also like amount of dumb videos they have.
Definitely for length, because when Lamine Yamal translator wasn't working, the lady was trying to drag on the questions, and there was at least 15 seconds of silence.
Crazy, why are you asking questions?
15 seconds
and
of silence.
And then Ruud Gullit had to put his arm around the kid and embarrass him. Like, what are we doing here? There was that misfire. Mm-hmm. Like the people on the left side of the stage couldn't hear the people on the right side of the stage.
Yeah.
So then there's that mishap when they were talking about Beckenbauer. Mm-hmm. He said, talk to me how Beckenbauer was as a husband. And then the man starts talking.
The son. Then, the son starts talking.
Yeah, and then it's like, it's just such a... Like, they do the dragon every single year.
They do the dragon every single year.
They do the dragon, especially now that there's a lot more like women's awards and everything, which... Completely, I'm here for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Why did you do a double take of the camera, bro? Oh,
God. Did you say dragon?
I'm here for.
But yeah.
I don't know if Miles.
But
is
with
here
production
for.
Today, I don't know who was on that. I don't know who was on that.
Definitely not Ryan Sykes.
Peter Hutton, guys. Remember him?
Oh God, I do.
Why do I know that name?
All respect to this lovely man, but he was the TV guy that we had in.
Oh yeah. Oh right, okay.
Yeah, that class.
All right. Yeah. All right. Are we done?
Is that it? FPL roundup.
Of course. Me? Oh, I actually haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, go on then.
I haven't done it in a while.
Go on.
Okay. FPL roundup. So guys, as we all speculated, Blake is on the up and coming and he's sort of almost back.
Guys. We suck. Can we just say that first? We suck.
I don't know. I'm feeling fairly okay with my...
What's your overall rank now?
Don't worry about it. Okay. Don't worry about it. So, in last place, Miles, for the FPL.
Attaboy!
I don't know.
Is it surprising or is it not surprising?
Yeah. So, last place, he had a 46, which is 10 under average. Or no, 8 below average, sorry. Top performers were Haaland and Vardy and Mbeumo, actually, 15. Without Mbeumo... Yikes, it's a rough week for him. But good pickup from Milesy there.
I think Aaron has him now, no?
Yeah.
I do not. Wow, and you still had that week.
I told you.
What are you doing, lad?
I'm cooking.
He's cooking something. Own. You know what it is?
And I had Smith Rowe bench.
Nicholas fucking Jackson.
Yeah. Third place, or I guess tied for second, because me and Julie had the same amount of points, is Antoine.
Thank you.
Obviously, in Burmo, Haaland.
Look, honestly, I'm not too proud of my season so far. I missed the deadline last week because the kickoff was on a Friday. I honestly didn't even notice that.
Dude,
but still pulled through. I think I would have had less points if I didn't miss the deadline. So a bit of a casual take, but
it's okay.
We take it.
You take it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Still first.
Ju and Blake come in tied for 59 points. Julian's top performer was in Burma as well, but he also had Vardy and Haaland, which I also have Vardy and Haaland and Palmer. And I do
Lewis.
As well. So,
we go Lewis delivered.
Okay. We go through every player. Like, is that how we do this? Wow, Rico Lewis got a clean sheet. Like, wow. Like, what a great performance. Like, let's relax. All right. And if I didn't bench Emil Smith Rowe, then I would have been almost within 40 points of Miles. But I think I'm within 50 points of Miles. So. I'm getting there.
What's your squad value question? Scroll down and it's at the bottom under admin.
How do I do that?
Are you on your point screen of your team?
Yeah.
Scroll down and on the bottom right, there should be a little thing called admin. And then, finances right above that.
Yeah.
Oof, mine is bad.
What is it?
994.
Mine's worse. 985.
Really?
What's yours?
101.6.
Yeah, but you had Holland, sir. I didn't have Holland. And you went up.
I had Holland too.
Wow. Yeah. I owned Mbeumo early.
Because Holland was what, 15 to start?
Yep.
And now he's 15.4?
He's 15.4.
Jesus Christ.
So he was, I bought him at like 15.3 or something.
Oh, I bought Rodgers early. That's a big one. Yeah. Mbeumo early. I bought Palmer early. Lewis early. Vardy early.
Anyways.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, lads. Well,
that wasn't that bad. That was just a normal pod.
Yeah.
How long are we going?
83 minutes.
Oh, dude. Not bad.
It's like 10 minutes.
You know what? You
hour want. 25.
It's five. What?
Because low key, like,
it's 5 to 10 over.
We didn't go on many, like, life tangents like we usually do.
Yeah.
No?
Usually
we try not to. You know.
Usually we stray away from the subject.
We actually could have thought about Arsenal longer. Damn.
We could have. Thank God we didn't.
I really enjoyed our Man United discussion. I thought it was productive.
It was productive.
I thought I'd be getting laughed at a little bit now.
Hopefully Man United are going to be productive soon.
I don't know if I'll be more mad if we lose or win against Chelsea.
Let's just draw.
Oh my God, lad. Like, no, win. Said oh, wait.
Okay, obviously, I would rather win.
Yeah, win against them.
Mm. But if we're really good, I will come into the studio with a few gripes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Although seeing Sancho lose will be quite satisfying. Okay.
That's why I can't speak to him, because he says, if we lose, just want to win every game. You just lost your manager. Just want to win now.
Mm.
You still think about stipulations, about outside. That's what you guys need to stop
You
gotta doing.
Think about the larger picture. Because you know what the larger picture is right now, boy?
You guys are still shit.
We're 14th.
There you go. Well,
it's a pretty large picture.
It's a very large picture.
So why are we 14th? You gotta think about why we're 14th. Part of that was the reason we sacked our manager. That's one of the reasons. But another big reason is because of these players. So if they... Maybe. Fuck, it might be lower now, dude. Listen.
No, it's 14th.
Fuck.
I mean, Crystal Palace won shit. They might catch up to you guys.
Oh, brother. 14th position. Bro, we're talking to guys like Leicester, oh Everton, West Ham.
Sitting at
Crystal
West
Palace.
Ham's table is not something every team can do.
Brother in Christ. A point behind Bournemouth and Newcastle and Fulham.
Those are good
two teams. Behind Brentford.
All right, lad, I'm over this. You're just...
You're dragging
it
like
a ball. But if they win, I'm going to be mad.
Hmm.
Fucking A, dude.
Because these fucking players, bro. These fucking players, like, they put me through enough. Like, I'm just numb to this sport because of them, you know?
Mm.
A few of them, you just need a good...
Hello, mother. Oh. Do you want to say hi to the podcast? We're filming right now.
Do you want to ask me about football?
Oh, she called it right!
Go on!
Yeah, talk to me about Arsenal. Talk to me about the Arsenal performance today. Or yesterday. Mother, do you not remember me being upset on the weekend?
Oh, right, yeah. You were really upset, actually. You said today. I didn't watch it today.
No, I meant Sunday. Okay, let me call you back in a bit.
Hello, Mama Talbot.
That's a great little wholesome moment there. I love that.
Sometimes my spontaneity is
I love that.
Pretty good.
Spontaneity. Isn't it spontaneousness?
Spontaneity? Spontaneity? I think it's spontaneity.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot of sports to watch tonight, don't we? You got Leafs, there's Raptors, there's Raw.
Baseball. Wait,
there's World Series?
It's already started.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Let's go. Let's go, Dodgers.
Let's go. All right, boys. A great pod today.
Yep.
Everybody listening, I hope you have a wonderful week watching footy. Is there Champions League this week?
No.
EFL Cup. EFL. Oh, enjoy the EFL Cup, guys. Wow. As always, we will be here next week to talk to you about Chelsea United, Ruben Amorim, all the great stuff. Another conspiracy. And we'll see you next week.
We out.
See ya. Thank you.